Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Hey, friends, welcome back.
Here we are.
We're recording two podcasts in one day, which we hardly ever do. So I'm feeling quite accomplished. So I have a bone to pick with you because I was just gone for three nights and the kids ate pizza the first night. Hey. Vada pow,
which Easy. Is like shots fired.
Deep
this isn't
fried.
Is dumplings. This for public consumption? Are we really starting?
And then
this?
The third night was leftover
Honey,
pizza and deep fried.
Why?
Junk
that why are you
like
surprised?
A dollar.
Why are you surprised at any of this?
Just saying.
We have some episodes on shame, don't we? Public shaming.
Yes.
Maybe you should go back and listen to those. Maybe I should.
I'm trying to increase your shame resilience.
I
you have to trust
that.
My unconditional love for you right now.
Your
trust,
your
it.
Genuine love. You mean
mm-hmm.
genuine love? That's what you meant.
I'm drinking this new tea that I bought that I just want to tell people about really quick.
Okay,
it's called Just Good Sense for you people in India, and it is so good.
Wait, did we get paid for that?
No, but
that wasn't a paid advertisement.
I'm ready to
just for free.
Maybe
you put that out there
I'll
for free.
I'll submit it to their
we
company.
We should do that. We should just start doing our own endorsements and just see if people can like pick it up. If you buy a bag of that tea, if you just want to send us some money, then go ahead.
All right. Well, today we are talking about something that I'm really excited to talk about because it truly is a meaningful heart lesson that has both been in the immediate past, like the last few months, particularly for me. Yeah. And then also, I think the accumulation of some years.
Yeah, it's been a part of our ministry, a growing recognition, I think, in our broader ministry and really how we approach everything we're trying to do here. I think over the past several years.
Yes.
That's come together.
Yeah.
This issue of genuine love.
Genuine love and really trying to do everything we do with our hearts engaged.
Yeah.
And in a way that the goal is to engage other people's hearts.
That's right. Yeah. So the both sides of that. Engaging our own hearts more fully, and then as we're doing ministry, actually looking at people's hearts, not being satisfied until we feel like we are actually reaching hearts and communicating to people's hearts.
I don't know if this has become more of an issue the longer we've been on the field. It kind of feels that way to me, that it is very possible to do our ministry and go through with emotions and do a lot of good things with our hearts not fully engaged.
Yeah. I think it's human nature, right? If you look at a lot of the admonitions, even in the Bible, a lot of the admonitions, both in the Old Testament towards the people of Israel and towards the people of God in the New Testament, is because their hearts are cold, is because they're not engaging their hearts fully through faith and hope and love, those things that are so important. Because when it comes down to it, that is the aim of our work, is hearts, right? People's hearts. That's what God is doing. He's giving us a new heart. He's drawing our hearts to Him. We've talked about this verse before. This is something that we come back to a lot. This has been one of those sort of driving verses for the ministry focus on our hearts over the past several years. It's 1 Timothy 1:5. It says, "The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." Just been a good reminder that the aim of our charge is not multiplying churches, multiplying leaders. Like, that's a part of it. We hope that that comes from it. But in a kind of a parallel to 1 Corinthians 13, if we have fourth generation churches, but we have not love, then
we're a clanging cymbal.
Yeah.
Cymbal.
That's right.
Yes. And I think it applies to really every part of our lives that are important to us.
Yeah.
Every goal we would have as believers, whether it's in our parenting, our churches, our leadership, our work, that everything we do depends on our ability to influence people's hearts. And maybe like the more we can bring our full selves into meetings instead of just showing up and going through motions or with relationships, kind of coming, bringing half of your heart. But the more that we can fully show up with our kids and be sensitive to them, then that puts us in a better position to influence them and for them to feel loved and to trust us.
That's right. It all comes down to that idea of genuine love, you know, not just love, or even as that verse talked about how this is love that's arising from the heart, from a sincere faith, that it's something that it's carrying like all of us together. Like you said, we're not just showing up, just going through the motions. Maybe our heart's divided, maybe thinking about something else, but it's a heart of genuine love.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I think the core of the focus is. Love can seem these days, unfortunately, kind of blah as a word. It's like it can mean so many different things. It's used in so many contexts. It can be stripped of its meaning, really, and stripped of its importance. And so I think genuine love is such a key, that particular characteristic. It's genuine, arising from our hearts.
Yeah, and I think it's easy for us, if we just stop and think for a minute about trust, even for the listeners. Who do you trust in your life? Why do you trust them? How easily do you trust others? And when you don't trust people, what is the root of that? I think many times it's this suspicion or fear in our hearts that that person doesn't truly love us.
Yeah.
They don't genuinely love us. That might be your team leader. It might be your national partner. It might be your ministry partner. It might be your teammate, your spouse. But this little doubt comes in that maybe this person doesn't truly love me. And so therefore, I can't be fully comfortable or safe with that person because they might judge me or they might betray me. And so focusing on that word, genuine. And I think in our work, I mean, we're all supposed to love each other. We're all believers and we all are trying to love each other, but we all have some degree of trust issues because we've all been hurt. And I do think some people have more difficulty trusting others than some might, just because of their backgrounds.
Right.
I definitely can see times when I struggle to trust people around me that I should trust, right? That it's not reasonable for me to not trust you.
Yeah.
You've never given me any reason not to, but yet I still struggle to sometimes.
That's like a core part of any personality, because alongside of a lot of those sentences of judgment against people for their lack of love, it really is love and faith or trust are connected, right? Mm-hmm. This is communicated to us. Our failure to trust one another is related to our struggles with trusting God, believing Him, having faith in Him, right? Is that to the extent that we can depend upon Him by His power, then that actually informs the way and changes the way that we're able to do that with people. So it's an extension. It's related. It's an extension of the discussion about our faith towards Him, right? That these are heart postures, faith and love. A lot of times in the Bible are talked about, they're kind of like overlapping. They're come from the same root. But to think about how does our struggles with to believe that God is there, that He is trustworthy, how does that relate to our horizontal relationships as well? And that those are kind of springing from the same root. And so we're kind of addressing the one feeds into the other, right? They communicate with each other.
Jesus told us this when He told us the two greatest commands are to love God with everything you have, your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love people as yourself.
And the qualifiers there, I think, speak again to the genuineness, right? Talking about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then people as yourself. Those are clarifying further that that's the genuine love that we're talking about.
So as we, in this episode, just flesh that out a bit more, those interlinking qualities of a believer, genuine love and trust for one another, building trust, having that trustworthiness. Those are always connected. And when we love people well, they become more convinced that our love for them is genuine and they trust us more, right? When people don't trust us or when we don't trust them, again, it's that suspicion that their love isn't genuine. I wanted to just share something that I learned from a mental health coach training that I did over the summer that I thought was really helpful. In the counseling world, the relationship that the counselor and the counselee develop, the strength of it, the safety, the security, the trustworthiness that is built, is the most important factor in the success of that counseling. In other words, the counselor's ability to get the person that they are sharing with, listening to, and helping, to get them to trust them and feel safe, that far outweighs any of their techniques, the things they've learned in the classroom, the education they might give. But this was a reoccurring theme in this course that I took, was that the relationship between the counselor or the person who's trying to help and the other person is the necessary foundation and even kind of the ceiling Like, it's not going to be any more successful than that relationship allows. So I'm not a counselor. Our listeners, most of them are not counselors, but we're all trying to help people and we're all trying to influence people. I mean, anywhere from evangelism to disciple making to leadership, that's what we're trying to do. And so I really honestly had kind of a bit of an aha moment in the middle of this course when I realized sometimes I can just assume that people trust me. Hmm. And I don't naturally trust everybody. So why should I assume that they would trust me?
Yeah.
And just learning how we can build trust with people and show them our genuine love for them in intentional ways.
Yeah.
And that's a very loving thing to do and a very helpful thing to do so that we're in a position to truly help people and minister to them and be used by God in their lives.
Yeah. Demonstrating by that we are trustworthy, you know? I think that that's, again, an overlap in how we relate to God is that he actually took the initiative to prove himself trustworthy to us. And our response is a response of trust back to him because he's been proactive in his love towards us. And I think to the extent that we have relationships or contexts where we're in leadership, or like you said, we're trying to influence, whether that's through evangelism or disciple making, or even with our kids, even with other friends, right? Mm-hmm. Is that we're being proactive. That's the gospel kind of posture that we would bring us. We'd be proactive to demonstrate genuine love and prove ourselves trustworthy in that way, that we're because we're seeking that response of trust from the person that we're trying to love, right? And just that building that relationship.
And I am sharing these things because I'm actively trying to grow and because I really see so much room for growth in this in my life. So we want to share just a few suggestions, encouragements to spur you on, our listeners, to love and good deeds. We want to spur you on in this. We just want to stir up ideas. And yes, there is an aspect of if we genuinely love people, then the love is the fulfillment of the law. Like they are going to know we love them because we're going to naturally do things. However, it still can be helpful to think through some ways to express our love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's kind of foolish and naive for us to think that this should just come naturally, because it is a natural question. It was the question that was posed to Jesus, like, what is love? Or I guess he was asked, who is my neighbor? Right? When Jesus said to love your neighbor, that's the fulfillment of the law. And then he told the story of the Good Samaritan. And so trying to help, like Jesus did, trying to help put some concreteness to this idea of what does genuine love actually look like when it's lived out.
So we have three little tips for you, okay? And the first one is what many people call the ministry of presence. Now, this is truly being fully present with people, giving them your undivided attention, looking at them face to face with eye contact.
Like I am right now.
Yes, thank you.
Looking at you.
I feel so secure. Mm-hmm.
You guys can't see it, but I am. I'm looking right at her face, right in her eyes right now.
Showing that you care through your body language. Mm. It's really important.
I could work on that one, maybe.
I can't remember what the percentage is, but a very small percentage of our communication is actually the words we say.
Just make something up.
I know, I about did.
7%.
Something like that. Yeah. But much more important is our body language and our tone of voice. Mm. And so stop. Showing empathy and understanding while we're listening to people. And really thinking about how can I make my friend, my teammate, my ministry partner truly feel comfortable in my presence, feel cared for, feel safe. I don't want people to be afraid to be themselves with me. I don't want them to feel like they have to show their best side or hide something. I want people to feel like I'm going to love them no matter what and that I'm going to be honest with them, right? Not that I'm just going to say, like I agree to everything or brush over their sin. But I want people to feel like I don't have an agenda that is different than loving them and being there for them. And I would love the listeners to just think to themselves, when was the last time you felt like someone gave you their undivided attention, their phone was put away, and that they would just sit and listen to you as long as you needed, and that they didn't have an agenda that they were trying to get to?
That's a big deal.
It's a really rare,
convicting to me,
and precious commodity in our lives. And our spouses need it. Our kids need it. Our friends need it. The lost people need it.
Yeah.
And it's just our culture is only getting worse at that.
Yeah. There's so many things. We've talked about it several times already, but so many ways that love and that attention is being broken down and that people aren't doing that we're being distracted with other things, right? Mm-hmm. So just like you said, to really think about when's the last time you feel like you had a conversation like that where somebody was just unplugged and totally focused on you. That's a huge thing.
It's a wonderful gift. And I think kind of a sub point of that is to really be there for people in their times of need. And thinking about the example of Jesus, that as I've been reading through the Gospels and noticing, Jesus consistently naturally moved towards people who were in pain or in need.
Yeah.
That was like just the response of his heart. When he saw someone needy or hurting, he would just go towards them, even when they didn't ask sometimes. And so just thinking for us to love people well and to have the heart of Jesus, a compassionate heart, that we could draw near to people in their times of need, mm-hmm. and be there for them. And even thinking about in our life, when you're in need, mm-hmm. and you're vulnerable or you're sad or you're scared,
yeah.
and someone is there for you, it's something that you never forget.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really like a privilege. It's a privilege to be there and to provide that for someone.
That's totally true. I think that there's so many examples I can think of, even national partners on the field. And they will consistently, when we're talking about relationships or talking about people, they will consistently talk about people in terms of they were there when this happened. I can think of two very concrete examples right now of they could say, oh yeah, this person was here for me
when my daughter was sick.
Yeah. And they that's basically kind of how they remember how that love was communicated to them, was they were there in that time. And I think it really is just speaks to that broader principle of we just have to be there. This practicing the ministry of presence, it means we're there with them. A place that kind of summarizes a little bit of this, we had read through this as we were preparing for this episode, is Romans 12. And verse 9 says, let love be genuine. But verse 15 of Romans 12 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. And yes, being there for when people are in pain, they need help. Also being there in the good times as well. You know, it really is just the principle of being there. That's what it means to demonstrate genuine love to people that were there with them.
Which is inherently challenging.
Yeah.
Because of a lack of time and capacity.
Yep. And these days it seems like that's getting more and more difficult. Again, one of those areas that's getting squeezed out by the world and the pace of life.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do think, though, even the fact that we can't always spend tons of time with people doesn't mean that we can't communicate that ministry of presence to them.
Yeah, that's a good distinction. I think it doesn't always necessarily mean amount of time. It may mean being there at the right time.
Right. And when you are there, you're fully there.
Right.
And they can sense that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, big area of growth for us that we are passing on to you, hoping that we can all grow in this together, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, so another way to communicate our genuine love for people and build trust is simply to serve them, to think about ways to just help them, practical helps of service. It could seem like really elementary, but it really matters, right? It really matters if you do things to help people. Day-to-day things like babysitting our kids for us.
Mm.
That's just going to be a number one way that anybody can love us. But truly, that is such a way to serve parents,
yeah.
is love on their kids, give them a date night, or just invest in their kids. I think one really great way that I have felt loved by others and that we have been able to express love is when people go on a trip and they bring you a thoughtful gift.
Mm.
Joya is so good at that.
She is.
Some of our ministry partners will do that. And it just shows, oh my goodness, you thought of me. Mm-hmm. When you were off on your trip, you thought of me.
I think I would just add on these first two points. We have found that believers here in South Asia are much better at these things than we are.
Yeah.
I mean, these are definitely areas, we've said it throughout, that we're trying to grow in. A lot of it is spurred on by being around believers here. So many of these things just come so much more naturally to them because they're coming from a more communal just society, culture in general. Man, we've talked about it before, but that in our previous city, working with some Muslim background believers, they were just ready to hang out and spend time all the time. That ministry of presence, that was something that they just did so naturally. And even this, the gift one, the acts of service, I feel like our national brothers and sisters are so intentional with those things. Like the ones I can think of, the examples I can think of somebody bringing back a gift from a trip, it's almost all national partners who went somewhere right. and brought something back for us.
Right, right. You know? And I think our, at least our personality, which is quite common in the Western world, of having a really set agenda for our day. Mm. I think that's one of our biggest obstacles, is we consistently feel like we're busy in our day. And so we have less capacity to seize those opportunities.
Yeah.
And we believe, oh no, I don't have time to sit at this house for 2 hours. I need to leave at 1 hour. Or I don't have time to spontaneously fit something new into my day, like babysitting this person's kid or taking them a meal. And so I think that is something we really have to work on, especially for the achiever types mm-hmm. and the ones who tend to fill their schedule, is what are we thinking? And are we believing lies and really missing the most important things?
Right.
Because again, the example of Jesus, he seemed pretty, I'm putting in quotes, interruptible, you know, as he was going around.
Yeah.
He stopped a lot to help people. Just something I see in my own heart.
Yeah. A lot of it, as I think as the Lord reveals this to somebody, a lot of it's breaking patterns of really selfishness, that we have been so consumed by what we want to get done and driven by our own agenda. And so at the beginning, as you are trying to change this, it may look like scheduling things.
Yeah.
You know, you have to actually put
That's
into
right.
your schedule, I need to spend time with this person. I need to
yes.
call this person. I need to do this act. If we're not, if we've not practiced those habits, if we've not cultivated that, or if we've gone, you know, so far to the one side of just pursuing our own schedule, then at the beginning, we'll have to like schedule it back in.
Yes. I fully embrace that. That could apply to so many areas, mm-hmm. things that you wish you did naturally, but you don't. And to get over it and schedule it in. I mean, my kids, I don't know, they could be offended if they saw on my to-do list, spend time with so-and-so. Mm. But really, it's because I love them and because I want to make it a priority.
That's right.
Right?
Just an acknowledgement of our own failure to do it, but it also an acknowledgement that it's important to us. And so we're going
right.
to put it where we know it's going to get done.
Right. And I think with so many things, whether it's prayer or evangelism or acts of service, you do it both in an intentional and scheduled way and in spontaneous ways.
Yeah.
Both, right? You have to schedule prayer, plus you're trying to pray as you're prompted.
Right.
You scheduled in times for evangelism and you're trying to do it as you go.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Good.
All right. The third suggestion is to share your heart and life as appropriate. I just want to make a little clarification. I don't think we need to share everything with everyone. And I know most of our listeners would agree with that. But I think it's good to have wisdom in how much you share with certain people. However, if we are trying to develop a relationship with someone and we do not share our struggles, then they are going to be most people will be much less likely to share their struggles and they will not feel as close to us. And so I think that's been something that some people are natural at. Some people naturally share everything. Some people struggle with oversharing.
Right.
And those people, they just feel an internal need to share.
Hmm.
Other people don't.
Like you felt an internal need to share about all my failures as a dad at the beginning of this episode.
I mean,
sharing on my behalf. I appreciate that.
I was.
Thank you for building trust among our listeners. For me.
For you.
Thank you for walking.
Do you want to confess?
Helping me walk in the light. No, huh? I'm good. You did it. You did a good job in the beginning.
You can learn from it.
Oh,
right now.
Wow, you're going. You're still going. Just putting more on there. Yikes.
Well, I'm just thinking about.
We're growing, folks. We're working on this. Working on it.
I have friends who naturally share everything.
Yeah.
Okay. I have other friends who don't naturally do it. And I don't think it's necessarily 100% because they don't trust me.
Yeah.
I think it's also personality, right? But however, I still think we need some self-awareness. We need to think about how can I share more? How can I build that trust? Because it goes such a long way. And when someone shares to me kind of in an unfiltered way, that they're not trying to put on their best face or pretend like they're the best parent or whatever. When they're just like really honest, I feel this kind of instant response inside me of like freedom.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can like be really honest yeah. right now. And it just goes a long way in building trust.
Totally. I think that's completely true. We've all, I think, experienced that when we've been around or had a friend or somebody who opened those doors like that. And it does just hugely enhance that trust relationship. I think, again, maybe just to go back where you started, as appropriate, I think that's mm-hmm. something also we've been learning alongside, because this yes. is part of the journey that you and I have been on, I think, for the past several years of learning to do that better, being more yeah. vulnerable, walking in the light with people, cultivating relationships in that way. I think we've also learned that sometimes it's important to be a little circumspect in who we share with and what we share, knowing that, yeah, just knowing it's a process, right? Yeah. As you share things with people, that trust increases, then you're able to share more, that freedom grows, that relationship grows.
Right.
And so there is an appropriateness to that as well.
Yes, an appropriate pace.
Yeah, appropriate pace. That's a good way to put
yeah. it. But I will add, this isn't just, oh, let's sit around and talk about our feelings and be authentic just for that.
Yeah.
It's more than that. Again, to build that trust, to genuinely love people means I want you to feel, okay, so this isn't for everyone, but at different degrees in different relationships, I want you to feel like you can share your hurts with me so I can minister to you.
Yeah.
Right? I want God to use me in your life. And so I want to be able to comfort you. And if you don't feel safe with me, how would I ever be able to?
Yeah.
And I have experienced with trusted people, when I share my insecurities or my fears or my weaknesses, and they sit there and don't seem fazed or shocked, and they just love me, it's like I'm experiencing and believing that's how God is
yeah,
with me.
That's right.
So it increases my faith in God because I'm experiencing it right then.
It's good. That's how those are related. You know, that overlap again, that we're experiencing and growing in and relating to our love for God and our trust in Him through these, experiencing that through the relationship in the body of Christ as well.
Right. And we get to do that for each other.
Yep.
Because we're all insecure and we all have fears.
Yep.
And so we can help each other believe and trust in ultimately
yeah.
God's love for us, mm-hmm. and that's what gives us security, and we get tastes of that through each other.
I think maybe one of the most surprising and challenging things in this journey for me over the past several years has been recognizing a deficiency of love in my own heart, like love for other people, but recognizing like my ability to grow in that is directly connected to my ability to open up and receive love as well,
mm-hmm.
to walk in that vulnerability. There's a limit to how much you can grow in being able to love other people if you don't open up yourself and like allow that same sense of vulnerability and to be known, for people to know you and to love you. That those two are intimately related, obviously, right? That would be the case if you would just think about it for a second. But that's just been a challenge, you know, because I kind of want to be the one who's, oh, you know, I can love people well. The helper, right. That's right. But to recognize, oh, okay, you actually have to be, you have to learn how to receive as well along the way in order to be able to give.
And there are lots of books and experts on our brains that actually show that, how God created us that way.
Yeah.
Scientifically, you can see in our brain, it's impossible to shut down your own heart and emotions
right.
for yourself, but have them open to help others.
Yeah.
You can't. It's like the same part of your brain. I mean, I'm no expert on this, but I remember learning that, and just it really resonated with me, because we both have tended to not be super emotional when we were growing up, and then kind of learning to be more that way as adults. What I have learned is that when we say our feelings and our emotions out loud,
mm-hmm.
like people say, name it to tame it, you know,
hmm.
like when you say it out loud, when you share it with someone, there's an effect in your brain.
Yeah,
something happens. It changes the responses in your brain. And just how cool that is,
yeah.
because the Bible's already taught us that. Like, the Bible taught us that God created people literally for relationships, and that there's really no just I. Like,
yeah.
we're all always part of a community.
Yeah. We've been talking about for a while the walk, the principle of walking in the light. It's part of one of our just foundational teachings on abiding. It comes from 1 John 1, but that principle in the specific context, talking about confessing sin and recognizing sin where it comes from, but also a general, more general principle of letting it be known what's in your heart, speaking that to other people in community, and then speaking it to God as well. We refer back to the Psalms a lot in the midst of that, is that, man, David was just really raw and open in his feelings and expressing those first to God, but also there was a community in which he was able to express that as well. And that's just such a key part, is being able to bring those things, whatever is inside of us, into the light. That's how we cultivate that trust and genuine love.
So we believe that the key to all the things that we want in ministry really comes down to genuine love for people,
yeah.
Right? All of our goals as believers, whether it's in parenting, family, community, church, evangelism, leadership, it really comes down to our hearts and our genuine love for others, which makes me want to plead for Jesus to make his heart, like form his heart more and more in mine, yeah. Right? Our hearts to become more and more Christ-like. But expressing, living genuine love for people and building that trust with them, which is what helps all of us grow into more Christ-likeness. Yeah. And it puts us in a position to be used by God to help others grow in Christ-likeness.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Right?
Easy peasy. You know, nothing to it. Genuine love. Just love people from the heart, people. You know, simple.
Simple.
Right?